Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and for the opportunities that it brings. And now as we have a chance to hear from your word, pray that you'll bless your servant, Pastor Skeet, as he shares. Open our hearts and help us to respond and to accept whatever words you want to share with us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
God is good,
all the time.
I'm very happy to see you this morning, my young brothers and sisters. And let me express publicly my delight and my thanks to God for the privilege he gave me to fellowship with you this way. I really am profoundly grateful. And my prayer is that you will always remain faithful to God wherever you go, whatever you do, in everything big and small, particularly the little things, because it's usually in the little things that we trip and fall. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2. We shall move quickly. I have to get on a van and head to the airport, but I don't want to rush the Spirit of God. Genesis chapter 2, reading from verse 16. Genesis 2, reading from verse 6. Now, I'll just read to save time. God bless you. The Bible says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now, that's what God said. Now, in chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the serpent came now. He wants to deceive Eve. He wants to lead her into sin. Eve knew clearly God said, don't eat it or you'll die. And the woman said that God told us we shall not touch it, lest ye die. Verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. What did God say? What did the devil say? She had a choice between what? What God said, yes, which is good, and what the devil said, which is bad. From then until now, all human beings always have a choice between what God says and what Satan says. Regardless of the instrument through which that word comes, it's a choice between what God says and what Satan says. Now, after Satan said, ye shall not surely die in Genesis 3:4, listen to what he says in verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What was the devil doing? Notice what he said. God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and ye shall be as gods. What is he trying to do? Make it look good. Make what look good? Sin. He has not changed that tactic. Now, when you play with the devil long enough, you start to see things his way. That's very serious. We don't know how long Eve spoke to the serpent. Listen to verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, is that what it was?
No.
Why did she see it as good for food? Because she chatted with whom? Satan. Listen to me carefully. When you get into something that's wrong, the longer you stay in it, the more likely you are to view it as right. That's why it's very dangerous even to take the first step in sin. Now she sees something forbidden as good for food. And so Satan, what he did, he got her to believe that sin has benefits. And so your friends may tell my young brothers, man, you know, disrespect the women, run around with women, then we, you know, you'll be the man. You'll be respected. And so fornication and immorality are presented as a means to get respect and recognition. Or it works the same way on the other side of the gender scale. Have all the boyfriends you can, and you'll be the girl in school. Satan never presents sin as harmful. Always attractive. Now, this has been his method for hundreds of years, if I've told you. Go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Let's go to Revelation, see him in action again through one of his agents. Revelation 17, we look at this woman called the harlot, Babylon. Do you have Revelation 17? Let's read verse 4, the description. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold, precious stone, and pearls. Finish that verse for me nice and loud. Having what? A golden cup in her hand. Stop. If you saw a golden cup, nice shiny gold cup, is your first impression negative or positive? Positive, because outward impressions have an effect. She has a golden cup. You know, it's not surprising to me that God does not look on the outside. You know where he looks? On the inside. But what is in that cup? Finish the verse. Having a golden cup in her hand, finish that verse. Full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. My young friends, what I'm trying to tell you, the only way to judge what is safe and what is unsafe is to stick to God's word. So when the devil said to Eve in Genesis 3 verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as gods. Eve should have said, but God said, I'll die. And gods don't die. Some things doesn't square. God said, I'll die. She should have held to that no matter what the devil said. When the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, it makes no impression on God when you argue for keeping Sunday, because Saturday is your best business day. You make most of your sales on Saturday. Why don't you let me keep Sunday and do business on Saturday? No, God says the seventh day. Let me say it again, my young brothers and sisters. The only way to know what is safe. The only way to know what is safe is to check what? What God says. Let me show you something else that's even disturbing. When the devil said, he shall not surely die, that was his word. And God said what? He shall surely die. Now Eve had two words. Follow me closely to see how ridiculous human beings are. Did Eve have any evidence that God's word could be trusted? What was the evidence? Creation. Creation. And I think I told you that earlier in the week. Creation. What evidence does she have Satan's word could be trusted? None. But whose word did she choose? Satan's. We are no different. What evidence do people have for keeping Sunday as the Sabbath? None. They are no different from Eve. With no evidence at all in the Bible, they keep Sunday. With no evidence at all that Satan's word had power, she followed Satan's word. Now you and I must make a commitment, a decision, and it has to be made every day. I will judge everything that comes my way by the word of God. And so Jesus said to serpents of Satan in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but how? By every word. Now, when he said live, what did he mean? Just physically? Are there various aspects of living? Name one. The physical, we just said that. What's another one? Spiritual, another one. Mental, another one. Are you in school? Academic? What's another one? Do you have friends? Social? Do you go to the gym? Do you go play frisbee? What's that? Recreational. For every area of life, in every way in which you express yourself as a human being, Jesus says, do it by every word. Not just in and out breathing. Every aspect of your life. What does God say? What does God say? That's the key. It is not what people say. If your mother wants you to study on Sabbath, you shouldn't do it. Let me tell you a story you won't believe. I was in a certain state in the United States, preaching at a camp similar to this, but just for a weekend. And I was doing one-on-one counseling. This young man came to me, tears in his eyes. So why are you crying? He said, when I pick up the Bible to read it, my father kicks it out of my hand. I said, your father kicks the Bible out of your hand. Why? He tells me, pick up your chemistry book. Because the Bible cannot get you into good college. I said, is your father an Adventist? He's an elder. Now, what's the message the father is giving that boy? God's word is what? Unimportant. Same camp, a young lady came to me, tears in her eyes. Why are you crying? She said, Pastor, I have one foot in the world. And one foot in something, she described it, in the world and another foot in the church. And the foot in the world is stronger than the foot in the church. How did that happen? Well, I begged my parents, let me go to an Adventist college. And they said, Adventist education is inferior. You need an education that gets you into a good medical school. Go to some secular university. And she went. She said, the moment I entered that school, everything I believe was tested and shaken, and I am more in the world than in the church. And she was crying. Listen carefully to me as the recording angel writes what I say. Every choice you make, try to find guidance from God's word. And clarification from Ellen White's writings. What did I say? Guidance from God's word, clarification from Ellen White's writings. I have a good friend I want to introduce to you. The first friend is Jesus, and that's his word. No questions about that. I have another friend I want you to know, get to know. That friend's name is Ellen White. Listen to me. Take some time, read her books. Let me give you some books to read. One, read Messages to Young People. Write that down. Messages to Young People. Second book to read, Education. For those of you in your upper teens, Letters to Young Lovers. Let me go over those books again. Book number one, what did I say? Messages to Young People. Book number two, Education. Book number three, if you're 17, 16, that sort of thing, Letters to Young Lovers. Another book you ought to read, Mind, Character, and Personality, Volumes 1. I think they're just two volumes. Am I right, Elder? Mind, Character, and Personality, tremendous wisdom in those two books. I love those two books, Mind, Character, and Personality. And then I want you to read as well, Steps to Christ. Here's what I want you to try to do. You may forget, but I'll tell you. When you read Steps to Christ, take a highlighter. A yellow highlighter. And when you read something that really strikes you, highlight it in yellow. Then when you finish that, a couple of months later, go back and read the book again. This time take a green highlighter. And see what strikes you the second time that did not strike you the first time. If you do that 5-6 times, you'll highlight the whole book. Are you listening to me? You'll highlight the whole. That for me, if there were no Bible, I'd want Steps to Christ. God said, don't eat. Satan said, eat. This is the choice you face every day. And I want you to make a commitment this morning that by God's grace, every decision you make, you will try to make it based on what? What God says. Are you with me? If Adam and Eve had done that, there would be no sickness, no death, no famine, no wars, no babies born dead, no men beating their wives, no countries blowing up other countries. Did you hear what I just said? If Adam and Eve had simply done what God said, that's the key to a blessed life. What God says. Let me give you some wisdom from Jesus' mother. Go to John chapter 2. Then I'll make my appeal and I'll go. John chapter 2. We'll read from verse 1. Now, I believe, and I can't prove it, if you take a father and a mother who spent the same amount of time with a child, the mother knows the child better. That's my feeling. I can't prove it scientifically. And I base it on the fact the child spent the first 9 months with the mother. Are you following me? When a child cries, the mother knows what's happening. The father has no clue other than he's being bothered. Okay, so I believe the mother knows a child better. Listen to the mother of Jesus. Of course, in Jesus' case, his father is God, so he knows everything. But at an earthly level, listen to the mother of Jesus and some common sense wisdom she gives us. Reading from verse 1. And after on the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were called to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, what happened? The mother of Jesus said unto him, what? They have no wine. She comes to her son because she knows what her son can do. She raised him, bounced him on her knee, changed his diapers, breastfed him. Okay, have you ever thought of that? A woman breastfeeding God? Ah, you're not listening. This is the last day. Breastfeeding God? changing the diapers of God, that tells you that he became what? One of us. Verse 4, Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. The word woman was an expression of politeness. Not what it is. You don't tell your mother, woman, what are you doing? Not today. Are you with me? In Jesus' day, it was polite. Listen to what Mary said to the servants in verse 5. All of you, the King James Version, read it nice and loud like a choir. Come on, read. That's not loud enough. Whatsoever he said unto you, do it. Listen to me. If that's all you ever remember from my presentations, I'm happy. Say it again. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now, there's another man in the Bible who symbolizes Christ. He represents Christ. You know, there's certain people who represent Christ. Moses represented Christ. You know, Joseph represents Christ. Let's look at the life of Joseph. See him in a similar situation. Go to Genesis 41 very quickly. Remember the life of Joseph? Remember Joseph? What hit Egypt for 7 years? 7 years of famine after 7 years of plenty. Who was put in charge of Egypt? By Pharaoh. And Joseph made all decisions as to how the corn was distributed, how food would be handled, how people's lives would be saved. Read verse 55 of Genesis 41 carefully for me, someone. And when? Genesis 41, 55. And when all the Egypt was, the people came unto whom? They came to Pharaoh. Why? Why? Because Pharaoh was... He was a king. Yes, Joseph was in charge, but Pharaoh was the absolute king. They came unto Pharaoh. What did Pharaoh say? And Pharaoh said unto, go where? To Joseph. Finish it. Now, Joseph is in a position to save life. Christ is in a position to save life. And the way Joseph saved life, do what I say. Are you with me? How does Jesus save us? Do what I say. Make a decision right now. You'll ask God for the strength. Whatever he says, you'll do. But to find out what he says, what do you have to do? Read the word of God. And get clarification from Ellen White. Let me say it again. Make a commitment right where you are. Whatever God says to me, I will do. Now, I renew that commitment in my own life right now. To live by whatever God says. Whatever he says, I want to try to do by the power he gives to me. Because whatever God asks you to do, he gives you power to do it. Are you with me? That's why when he gave the Ten Commandments, the commandments begin this way. And God spake all these words saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Why does God say that first? Why do you think he says that first? He wants them to recognize who he is and what he had done. What had he done? How? By doing what? How did he get Pharaoh to let them go? He sent how many plagues? 10, each one worse than the other. Each plague was an expression of God's what? Power. So God is reminding them, look, the one telling you to keep these commandments is the one who exercised power to bring you out. And the same power I used to get you out, I will use to help you to obey me. When Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, we often leave off verse 18, which says, and Jesus came and spake these words, saying, all power is given unto me. Then he says, go ye therefore. Why does Jesus say that first? So that he wants the disciples to know there is power available to you to do this work. Now, when God says, obey me, he's saying to you, I am the God who sent frogs on the land, turned the water to blood, sent hail, darkness, moraine, lice, boils, locust, the destroying angel. I parted the Red Sea, made bitter water sweet by throwing a tree into it, brought water from a rock, sent manna from heaven. Kept you warm at night, cool in the day. Now, I say, obey me. What can Satan say he's done for you? Nothing. Who died for you? What does Satan try to do? God tries to save you. Satan tries to kill you. Then whom should you serve? Make a commitment. Father, help me to do whatever you say in every situation in my life. Can I see your right hand? I want you to mean it. Stand up with me. Let me talk to my sisters first. What commitment did I just ask you to make? Say it again. To do whatever God asks you to do. My young brothers, what commitment did I ask you to make? Whatever God says, try to do it. You will never regret it. Never. Never. One more time. Is there someone who still needs to make a decision to be baptized and God said you should? You want to make it now. Last opportunity. You've not yet made it. You've been fighting it. Not because you're a bad person. All people have struggles with major decisions. But you want to stop fighting and make the decision. I am deciding to be baptized and you've not yet made it. Just raise your hand before I pray. I've not yet made it. I need to make it. Just raise your hand. Wherever you are, if you'll make that decision and put a smile on God's face, on your parents' face, on your friend's face, on my face, but I'm not important, on God's face. There's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. Anyone, I'll give you 30 seconds, make that decision. I am deciding finally, after fighting with God's Spirit, to be baptized. 30 seconds. God bless you. What's your name? Joseph, what's your last name? Guerrero. We have Joseph Guerrero. God bless you. Come, Joseph. Come, come. I have to pray for you especially. God bless you, Joseph. I'm happy. Bless you, my good brother. God bless you. Anyone else? 15 seconds. Anyone else? 15 seconds. I'm deciding to be baptized. God wants it. Jesus did it. Come. My good brother, tell me your name again.
Nathan.
Yes, Nathan. We have three Nathans. God bless you, Nathan. Brother Nathan, Brother Guerrero. Anyone else? Before I pray, 9:05, I'm supposed to be finished by 10:50. It's very simple. Intelligent decisions are made very simply. Just do what God said. Jesus wants you baptized. He won't force you. Don't do it because I ask. Because the Spirit has touched your heart. If he hasn't, okay. If he has, don't fight him. Anyone else? I am finally making the decision to be baptized and to live a life by God's word. Will I fall sometimes? Yes. The tragedy is not in falling. The tragedy is in not getting up. The righteous man falls 7 times. Get back up. Jesus was going to the cross. Did he fall when he went to that Golgotha? Did he fall? It wasn't a sin, but he fell. Did he get up? Yes. Did he fall again? Did he get up? Yes. You'll fall. Get up. Anyone else? All right. Who would like me to offer special prayer for? You don't have to say why, but something in your life you need special prayer. You don't have to say why. Just raise your right hand. You'd like me to remember you wherever I am in the world to pray for my friends at YD 2012, July 15 through 22. Just raise your right hand. Or any hand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, I ask you from the bottom of my heart to look at every hand that is raised, every heart that is raised. Particularly, Father, my two young brothers who've made decisions finally to be baptized, to walk the path that Jesus walked, the only path of safety, their God. Let none of my young friends be deceived by Satan into thinking that sin is attractive and sin is fun and sin is good. Father, sin is death. And so I pray that your Spirit will continue to work to convict those hearts that are still resisting, Father, because they're not sure. Let the Spirit touch them powerfully that they may realize the sooner they make a decision for God, the better it is for them. Father, we thank you for this week of fellowship. And Father, as we prepare for the second week, let the Spirit be as he was the first week, Father, perhaps with more power. Bless anyone else who may attend. Father, bless this camp, bless the directors, and above all, bless my young brothers and sisters. Let their lives be an inspiration to others. Let their holy lives in their homes be a blessing to those homes. Take me safely on my way. Prepare me for my next assignment, I pray. Father, if we never meet again in this way, let us be so faithful by your indwelling power that we will meet on that sea of glass, which is coming. I offer this prayer from my heart with thanksgiving. Let all God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you. I love you. Please be faithful to God one day at a time. God bless you.